Hello, and welcome to a very serious edition of American Pale Males. As always, I am your host, the very serious Jeremy, and with me, as always, is the sort of serious...
Very buttoned down. It's me, it's Michael. I don't know why we're serious this episode, Jeremy.
So, Michael, I know we don't normally talk about personal lives or anything on here, but I'm having some issues and I need your input.
Okay.
Pulling the curtain back, having some issues with the fiance. Well, so earlier today we watched Deadpool 2. Okay.
Okay.
Pretty good movie. And then after that, we continued the marathon. So we had a lot of people in town. And we watched Pacific Rim 2.
Okay.
Which is not so hot.
Not as good of a movie, I guess.
Not nearly as good as a movie. She's currently watching the new Power Rangers movie. And I need to know what to think about this.
Well, I mean, there's a little curiosity there, right? I mean...
I gathered. I was told under no uncertain terms that she was to relay to the people that she was prime Power Rangering age.
That's the other thing, too.
As a lass.
I mean, I think you and I, we were just maybe a few years too late.
A hair too old.
Right. Whereas she was probably in the thick of it.
Yeah.
Actually, maybe even a little younger.
I think she was even a touch young for it.
Yeah.
At the time. She told me to make sure that I relayed to you that the original Power Rangers film, not movie, film...
Oh, right.
Is a quality piece of work. And I want to know what you think about this. To me, it seems like the quality of movie has been steadily declining all day long.
Well, yeah. I think that's pretty much objective, almost.
Yeah, you don't need... If Pacific Rim 2 is on TBS and you come across it, and there's nothing else happening, you're not going to hate yourself for watching it. But it's by no stretch of the imagination a worthwhile, sequel, I guess, to the original.
It's like, Pacific Rim 2 is on. All right, yeah.
Did you see Pacific Rim?
I think I saw the first one, yeah.
Okay, solid movie, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Guillermo del Toro can generally not do much wrong, in my opinion. But this one is not Guillermo del Toro. It's got a garish color palette to it. And
what was that? Sorry, sidetrack.
No, go ahead.
What was that?
What's the deal?
What is... I know what it is. That was Real Steel.
I watched that with Cousin Ig in Seattle while hungover once. It's not a good movie.
But it has robots in it, too. It
does have some robots that are not nearly as big as the ones in Pacific Rim.
Pacific Rim, okay.
Yeah, I just really need to know what to think about this. Do I go out there and make fun of her? Do I just let it be in my own interests? I think that's where I'm leaning towards.
I think you treat it like a sociology experiment and question her about her thoughts and feelings in relation to what she thought of it back in the day.
Interesting.
Approach it scientifically.
Sure. So she's watching it on like Hulu or one of the streaming services we have on the old X-Bone out there. It's 2 hours and 4 minutes long. That seems absurd to me.
That's really long.
I know. It's one thing if...
What is it rated? Is it PG?
Let me check for you.
That's... Because if it's geared towards kids, that's like way too long.
Power Rangers. Saban's. Okay.
Well, that's right. Saban always has his name on it.
It's technically called Saban's Power Rangers, or simply Power Rangers. Wait,
it is PG-13.
It is okay. I'm getting distracted by the Wikipedia article. It grossed $142 million worldwide against a 105 budget.
Oh, so it did not.
It's allegedly a box office disappointment.
Yeah, usually you have to double
up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So maybe we won't see a sequel to this one.
Well, I guess it depends on how it does on, like, Fox Family or whatever that...
Oh, yeah.
Freeform or whatever it's called now. I don't know.
Kind of the afterlife.
Yeah. I could see this... It's always weird with these, air quotes, children's movies. Or ones that are aimed for a younger audience that are not necessarily like a Pixar or a Disney or what have you. Because those movies are just held hostage by ABC and the Disney. I mean, they are.
Right.
Especially now in like 20, 2020, I think they're getting their own standalone streaming service, which is probably going to be a godsend to people in your situation
with kids,
with multiple small children that need to be corralled every now and then.
Yeah.
There's something to be said about not just pulling a Homer Simpson and sitting your children in front of a TV for 18 hours a day, but
sometimes,
I mean,
mommy and daddy need a little break.
Well, that, and you know, there's...
That sounds like we're alcoholics or something.
Well, no, it just sounds like, not now! Some of those old Disney movies are pretty racist, though.
Well, I'm sure they're going to filter some... You won't be watching Song of the South on the Disney stream.
Well, yeah. We did Disney trivia this past Tuesday. And I got to use Song of the South as an answer, and it made me happy.
To put a button on this, Jeremy,
yeah.
I have a fact for you. Let me know if it makes you appreciate Power Rangers movie more or less.
Okay.
Bryan Cranston is Zordon in the movie.
Zordon, thank you. And I did see the very beginning of it, and I'm like...
Is that Walter White?
I knew he was in it because, like, okay. Oh God, Cranston. He doesn't always make the best movie choices. Much like Charlie Day, I keep waiting for him to have a movie where he can go full Cranston. He gets close in Drive from a few years ago, but he not quite. And Charlie Day has yet to go full Charlie in any movie that I've seen. He gets close in Horrible Bosses.
Okay.
But not quite. But anywho, enough of that nonsense. Michael, hit me with the beer brag.
Beer brag, I got one from a couple weeks ago, but it's still noteworthy. It was kind of interesting. This is called Citra Nitro Lager.
That's a tongue twister.
Yes, from Great Dane. I like this a lot. So it was nice to see the Citra hop outside of a IPA.
Interesting.
Or a pale ale, I should say. But it could have done with a little more, maybe, a little more hop intensity, but, you know, it's a lager, so it's not the point of it necessarily. Interestingly enough, the nitro aspect of it was it was okay, but it was kind of superfluous. I almost like that lager fizz.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would have been nicer than the nitro. So the nitro is kind of just like this interesting...
Nitro lager. I don't know if I've had one of those.
Yeah. And yeah, I just kind of... I think if it was fizzier, carbonated, it would have just been a real effervescent, robust lager, which is what you want from a lager.
Sure.
But with this, it was a little smoother and a little stranger, and it just didn't necessarily need that. But so it didn't plus or minus points, it was just kind of there. But overall, I like the notion of a citra hop in a lager.
Mm-hmm.
It was good.
Interesting. So I believe we've alluded to the fact that we are crafting a beer recipe off air.
Yes.
So I'm going to be a jerk and do the exact same recipe that you do so that we can compare them.
Okay.
But I'm going to mess around with it a little bit more, mostly because I want to get rid of all the leftover hops that you dropped off here that we've had forever.
Right.
So I might do a series of half-gallon batches, or one 2.5-gallon batch split into half-gallon increments with, like, oak, citra hops. I'm trying to figure out what I can do. A coworker suggested I rack this beer onto cinnamon sticks.
Oh, yeah.
Which is tempting, but...
Just a bunch of different post-boil...
Yeah. I mean, in a world where fellow Brew Hoo Hoo member Steven can't exactly brew at the moment for tiny, loud reasons, I figure I owe it to myself to screw around with recipes. But I have a double beer brag for you, Michael.
Okay.
So yesterday was opening day for college football as we record this, and needless to say, I went to a tailgate with counsel of the show at his long-running tailgate here in town. Friend of the counsel of the show, Mark, I hope I'm getting the name right. I'm bad with names. Had asked me what if I had had the Vian Stefaner / Sierra Nevada Brow Pact.
Oh, yes.
And I said, well, funny you should ask. Listen to episode whatever that we did that on a couple months ago or however long it was. And he reached in his cooler and pulled out the Sierra Nevada version.
Oh.
So I didn't know that they did this, but their 2018 Oktoberfest is brewed in collaboration with Vian Stefaner.
I didn't know that either.
yeah, it's interesting. I wish I would have had both of them side by side, just because it, you know how there's like the feeling of Americanized versions of English beers,
mm-hmm,
or yeah, just foreign beers, like whatever.
Right.
This one felt like an American version of the Weihenstephaner. So it didn't have that old school German funk to it.
Yeah.
But it's very good.
Is it the same? What's on the label? Is it like that, still that bear, or is it a different?
No, it is your standard Sierra Nevada label, but it does have the Weihenstephaner on there. Yeah, it's...
Oh,
it's,
I see it here. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's good. It's got the little the Weihenstephaner logo. It's very good. I prefer the Brow Pact a little bit more because it, I feel like their yeast does it better. It
syncs up a little more, maybe.
Maybe it's those Bavarian brewing standards that they have out there in Bavaria, but still a good one. Check it out, especially now that we're, you know, knee-deep in Oktoberfest season.
Well, yes. Today is our last summer beer, and then...
Oh, yeah.
APM Pod goes October.
Michael's got his dirndl, and I've got the lederhosen.
Oh, wait a minute.
So, because of these football shenanigans going on, we had a lot of people coming through the house, and because of that, I went and got some beer. You know, the stuff I got was nothing terribly out there, because, you know, it's mm-hmm. guests. You don't want to... You want to have the reachability for it. But
right, right.
Hy-Vee does have a clearance beer aisle, or like 1 foot segment of the cooler.
Mm-hmm.
Like one shelf, 1 foot wide, and they just put like old Busch Lights for $1. And but so, okay. But sometimes they have something weird.
Okay.
And I got the last one of these, and well, it was the Uinta Crisp Apple Ale.
Oh.
This is one of the worst beers I've had in a really long time, Michael.
Wow. So this is a beer bomb.
Well said. Good work. It's allegedly got real apples in it, but I don't buy that. To me, it felt like it was like almost apple perfume. It did not have any beerosity to it whatsoever. And not only that, it didn't have an apple flavor.
Now, do you think age factored in, or do you think no matter which way you slice this apple, it would have been... Sorry, go ahead.
It's entirely possible that age played a role in it, but it was just, it's not good. I can't see, I'm trying to find the color text here, but it seems to be missing from the Uinta website for...
Oh, yeah, maybe it's
good reason,
discontinued, and that's why it's on that shelf.
Side note, I also saw Pabst Pale Ale.
Whoa, on the shelf?
Well, no, it wasn't on the shelf, it was just one of the new things they had in there. But yeah, this was just super fizzy. I realized that you can't exactly make it taste like a cider if
right.
it's a beer, but
it
you can
like
make
going
it
uncanny valley there, like try to make it too much like a beer,
yeah.
or try to make it too much, yeah, it's hard to hit that, I bet.
But I mean, like, I feel like if they would have just racked it onto a bunch of green apples, it would have tasted better than what it tasted like. Is this, it just it didn't taste like, you know, green apple flavoring.
I see.
Just like apple perfume, I think is a really good way to put it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not good. Steer clear.
Have you ever had, I believe it's a Miller product, that Red's Apple Ale?
I have.
Is that any good?
It's better than this.
Okay.
We really should try it on the show at some point.
I assume it's meant to be pretty approachable.
Yeah, there was actually someone at the tailgate who was hammering 25-ounce Red's out extreme, or like jacked or loaded, or
oh,
some
yes.
it was
some
like
adjective,
an 8% version of Red's Apple Ale.
Okay.
It didn't smell good, but I mean, the people that tailgate at this place are significantly younger.
I see.
But yeah, it's
in any case,
go for the Oktoberfest. Just if you see a truck carrying this stuff, just light it on fire. It's disgusting.
Okay. Jeremy, I have a little tidbit for you here.
Yes, Michael.
I found this article on VinePair, an illustrated guide to beer can and bottle sizes.
Interesting.
Infographic here. So I'm going to give you, let's make it into a little game. I'm going to give you four bottle sizes, and you put them in order from smallest to largest.
Interesting.
Okay, so I'm just going to put them in a random order here.
Mm-hmm. And I'm not looking at this. I'm looking at the best-selling beers in America. I was trying to find the infographic, but I, once you said game, I've stopped.
Okay. And one of them's going to be obvious, but you'll have to figure out where to put it amongst the rest. So.
Mm-hmm.
Magnum, Howler, Growler, 40.
A Howler, I believe, is 32 ounces,
mm-hmm.
a.k.a. a Crowler, a canned Growler. Then a 40. Then a Growler is 64 ounces.
Mm-hmm.
And a Magnum, I think, is 3 liters. So that's my order. Howler, 40, Growler, Magnum.
According to this, a Magnum is 50.7 ounces. Might be
crap.
More for champagne and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So foiled. It is below Growler at 64 ounces. But otherwise, yeah, you even hit the numbers there. A few other sizes here. Large format, that's your 750 milliliter.
I don't know why that's so amusing.
I guess this is more in Mexico. A Balina is 940 milliliters.
Holy crow.
Which is also 32 ounces.
Uh-huh.
And then going even smaller here, you have your Bomber, 22 ounces.
Mm-hmm.
Your British, 500 milliliters, 16.9 ounces.
Okay.
Your Belgian.
330?
This has 375. But
okay.
That, yeah, 330. I seem to remember seeing that too. Then you have your standard long neck bottle, 12 ounces. Your stubby neck bottle, 12 ounces. And then your Nip Pony or Grenade, which is 7 ounces.
Those things are weird.
Yeah.
I was watching something the other day. I think we were watching Mindhunter on Netflix. And
mm-hmm.
They were drinking those tiny... whatever names of High Life by a pool, but it was the 70s at the time, so.
Yeah, this has something about that being vintage, or mm-hmm. the stubby is vintage, they said, but yeah.
So, Michael, I'm also looking at vinepair.com, and I'm looking at the best-selling beers in America 2018.
I did catch that at a glance, but go on.
I'm kind of upset about this. I mean, some of it makes sense, but a lot of it doesn't. It's weird.
And I think they also have market share percentage on there.
Yeah, they do.
Holy and then I believe
Jesus.
Like
Jesus.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
Do you want to just rattle off the top five just to update our intrepid listeners?
So this is all coming back to that friggin' book, Michael.
I know. I tell you.
I'm gonna go top 10 because it's the 10 that kind of is. I would not have guessed it. We'll put it that way. Number one, but I'm gonna go from 1 to 10.
Okay.
And I want your reaction to this, and if you don't remember. And if you do mm-hmm. remember, fake it.
Okay.
Bud Light. Coors Light.
Whoa. Oh, you're
not,
rattling
not this
all
part.
Off. Okay.
Bud Light. Coors Light. Bud Heavy. Miller Light. No surprises so far. Number 5 is Corona Extra. Number 6 is Michelob Ultra. 7 is Modelo Especial. 8 is Natural Light. 9 is Busch Light. Take a guess at what number 10 is.
Is it like Natty Ice or something?
It is not. It's Busch Heavy.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
We just talked about that recently and wondered if that existed, I think.
Oh, I know for a fact this exists because one time, friend of the show, Steve and I got a mystery case from John's Grocery, which we need to do sometime.
Oh, that's like perfect for the show.
Yeah, they also do a mystery case of Bombers as well, which might be a better idea for us.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a, like, 5 Busch Heavies in there. The only crack, I guess technically, I think technically a crack.
Yeah, there's just one in the top 25.
Yingling
at
number
18. 18.
Yeah. The Modelo and the Corona does not surprise me.
Yeah. Bud Light with 15% of the beer market share.
God.
Isn't that nuts?
Uh-huh. It is indeed, Michael. It is nuts. Like, I know I shouldn't be surprised or upset. But it's just like, I wish I would have seen this beforehand because I would have done some, you know, quick math or like made Excel do some quick math.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to know why they're buying up all of my beloved beer brands when they still have, you know, like 85% of the market.
All right. I mean, because they need more.
Yeah, I suppose so.
Dominance. Milwaukee's Best Ice, 25.
I saw someone buying Milwaukee's Best Ice the other day. Or no. As I was walking to the tailgate yesterday, it was I saw someone with 2 12s of Old Milwaukee Light, and I really, really was tempted to go up there and ask him, like, what the hell? and like try and get him on record, but they didn't seem like they would take kindly to that sort of shenanigans.
I'm looking to see what else we've tangled with here. Steel Reserve, number 22. Blue Moon is 19.
That's not bad.
That's not... I mean, it shows that people aren't just drinking yellow beer.
I had one of those the other day for the first time in forever. It's not bad. It's pretty bad. Good.
Yeah, it kind of... I don't know. It has a different taste to it, though. That it's not a true Vit beer to me, I guess.
No, no, no.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I'm trying to see anything else we've had. I mean, obviously, there's Cream of the Craps we've had on here.
Mm-hmm. We should really get enemy of the show, Crazins, to get us some Yingling.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He has some connection.
He's got family out that way, I believe. I've had it before, and I remember not being a fan.
Yeah, I want to try it again and just see if it's any better than...
The critical stink eye?
Yeah, right. But yeah, that random grab bag sounds like something we ought to do.
Mm-hmm. I agree wholeheartedly, Michael.
Jeremy, should we get into the beer for this episode?
I think we should. This is going to be an interesting one. Say farewell to summer, Michael. And we're even recording this on the official end of summer.
The official end of jabroni summer.
That's true. But you're not supposed to wear white pants anymore. I realize that that's an issue for you.
Right. But my sailor outfit goes out the window.
Well, you can still wear it around the house.
Yeah, right. When mopping the deck. Mm-hmm. Jeremy, tell everybody what the FDR is.
The FDR is the segment of the show wherein we find a beer, drink a beer, and rate a beer. And today, Michael, what do we have?
Yeah, I think this runs like into the summer, which is obviously over now, but it is Simply Dusty from Carbon 4 Brewing, K-A-R-B-E-N.
Do you know who is on the bottle?
No, and I was trying to, like, research that on the fly as we were kind of before and during the episode.
It's been bothering me ever since we,
looks
I saw this.
Some sort of sci-fi character, maybe?
It looks like some sort of...
Or an orc?
Is it? I mean, it looks like a guy. He's got a beard.
Right.
He looks like some sort of Philip K. Dick thing going on with the plugins and the, like, AV cables coming out of his head.
Yeah, he has, like, an implant. So, it's like a mugshot.
Mm-hmm. The traditional front and then side profile.
Yes. Of this, yeah, grizzly-looking guy. It does not look like it has anything to do with summer.
No.
And the name isn't alluded to in the flavor text here on the website, which...
Hit the flavor text, Michael.
Yes. Created as a salute to summer, Simply Dusty is like bare feet in warm sand or counting clouds with your favorite folks. That's an interesting
sentence. Let's do that when we get that mixed pack, Michael.
Yeah. The French Saison yeast creates a personal flavor fireworks of baked apples, lemony citrus, and wintergreen. The finale is dry yet silky smooth mouthfeel wrapped in the calming kiss of chamomile while being stared at by a criminal leering at you from a bottle.
So, Michael, have you had a beer with chamomile in it?
I think so. I think we talked about one on the show. I'm not sure if we...
We did, because I had it. It was the Bicycle Kick Kolsch.
Oh, yes, that's right. And you liked it, I recall.
Yeah, it was weird. It had that Kolsch-style beer is brewed with chamomile, the national flower of Russia.
Yes.
Where soccer fans will turn their attention this past summer. And lemongrass, representative of playing turf. I don't know about that. but yeah, I didn't know that it had that. I just saw that it was a Kolsch, and I like Kolsches, so I had it, and it was on sale. And then... I was just like, wait, what in the world is going on? And then I looked it up and I was like, oh, lemongrass and chamomile. That explains a whole lot of everything.
Oh, yeah. Let's open it up.
I agree. Let's. Michael, what would we classify this as, a stubby or a classic long neck?
All right, it's like in between. It's definitely not a stubby because that's like a red stripe, you know?
The Coors original?
Yeah. Saisons used to be like one of my favorite beers, but the last few I've had lately have not hit the mark for me, so I don't know if my tastes have changed or if I just had not very good ones. I don't have them very often, though.
Do you want to throw it under the bus and tell me what kind it was that you disliked?
Oh, God, I can't remember. I think it was just, like, a random brewery's Saison. This is super fizzy.
Yeah, it is. I'm using a tulip, and it is not pouring well for me.
No, I gotta take a little break, pouring break. It's, the color is almost champagne-like.
Yeah.
And it's effervescent like champagne, too. Maybe that's the French yeast champagne type yeast, maybe.
Is it champagne?
But yeah, that's roaring with bubbles. Jeremy, I've resorted to munching on the foam.
I've been doing the same thing. I wasn't going to say anything, but I have been doing the same
thing. So I'm kind of getting a sneak preview of the taste, but otherwise I can't pour it. It's very, in addition to be very foamy, it's very resilient to...
yeah, this is not a...
Decomposing? I don't know. Defoaming?
Settling?
Like champagne, you know, it bubbles up and then, but it goes down like... after a second.
I've gotten up to the 25 cl line on my
I think I'm good.
Oddly enough, with the mystery packs at Dirty John's, mm-hmm. you get two free glasses, and
okay.
unbeknownst to me, because I didn't know we were going to talk about that, I'm using one of the glasses that we got with that free 24 pack of crappy beer, which is supremely weird confluences, I suppose.
I think I can probably go in.
Yeah, go for it.
I'm going to probably get some of this on my nose, though, but here we go.
I just took the last little dregs out of the bottle.
Okay. It is... It's interesting. This is, what, 5.8%?
Yep.
It is very light flavor.
This is an unusual
yeast. Not in a bad
yeast.
Way or anything.
No, this is a weird yeast. And I don't know if I'm just saying that because, like, it's so fizzy, or if it's the chamomile throwing me off, but...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but the malt profile is almost non-existent. It's
yeah.
super light in the malt domain. Like, on the front of your tongue, you get pretty much no sweetness, or, like, there's obviously no roast here.
That said, it does not feel thin.
Well, yeah, it's substantial.
Yeah, I mean...
The effervescence is nice, too.
Mm-hmm.
And then it finishes... with kind of this herbiness, which I assume is part hop and part chamomile.
A part of me thinks it's sort of a personal flavor fireworks of baked apples, lemony citrus, and wintergreen. I was really hesitant about the wintergreen, because I don't know if I've ever had that in a beer.
Yeah, minty beer.
But it's kind of there.
I kind of get, like, the lemony aspect of it.
A little bit.
And more like of a lemon zest. Wouldn't you say, then, like, a lemon sweetness?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. It's a really earthy, herbal beer.
Have you ever had lemon verbena beer? Or lemon verbena tea, rather?
I don't think so.
It's good.
Like this?
It's kind of like... It's that kind of, like, woody, planty...
Yeah.
Earthiest.
Like a lemon grass, as opposed to...
I suppose it is probably... It's a member of the verbena family. We're going to find these things out. That's a shrub. Yeah, yeah. It looks like something you would pick in Red Dead Redemption. But it's good. It doesn't give it an artificial flavor. If anything, it makes it feel more...
It's not a zinger.
It's not a zinger. It's not lemon trail. It makes it feel more real lemon, even though it doesn't taste like a real lemon.
Right.
If that makes any sense.
This is weird, though. I wouldn't associate this with, like, the summer imagery they're purporting.
It feels like, you know, I don't know. I just associate summer with, like,
crushable
misery, heat, and broken bones.
Right. Okay.
But yeah. With spring, though, it's like, you know, there's, like, flowers coming out. It's not a swamp. You get that just...
Right. It's not humid. It's crisp.
It's crisp. That's the word I'm looking for. And this is a crisp beer. No matter what we can say, it's very crisp, in my opinion. Is the chamomile coming through for you?
I think so. I think on the back end...
Yep.
I'm getting some... I'm sure there's... I wish we knew the hops in here, too. But, because, yeah, there's, like, a really earthy flavor at the end, and I assume that's from the chamomile.
Yeah.
So this is a pretty small brewery, but they've made a pretty big mark in the area.
Do you see them outside of the Madison area?
I've like not.
Okay.
So I assume they're pretty local.
It's a Big Grove situation?
Right, exactly.
Okay.
I don't know. They do have bottling, obviously, though. The most notable beer from Carbon 4 that you almost can't miss on the shelf is called Fantasy Factory.
Have we done that one on the show? I know I've had it.
I don't know if it's been on the show or not. I want to say no. I'm not sure, though.
Doesn't it have, like, a football player riding a unicorn?
A cat with a gun riding a unicorn.
That's what it was.
Breathing fire.
Yeah, yeah.
that one's hard to miss if you see it on the shelf. So mm-hmm. if you haven't seen that around your area, I'm assuming they're pretty much just Southwest Wisconsin type, you know, distribution as far as their bottles.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. Is there anything else we have to say about this?
How's the yeast treating you?
I think that might be one of my favorite aspects of it.
It is my favorite aspect.
Because it's cranking that effervescence. It tastes good. If you gave this to me, I would almost maybe not pinpoint it as a Saison.
No.
Because it's pretty unique, but that yeast flavor is the most Saison-y aspect of this.
100%.
Which, I mean, Saisons are yeast-driven, obviously, but I don't know. I've talked myself into a corner here. I don't know. Anyway, the yeast is good, and that's why I think that's why I've historically liked Saisons is because of the yeast, so...
Let me get the bottle here. This is a Saison farmhouse ale? Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. Farmhouse ones are, like, the OG version is just open fermentation and open the doors, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So I think with that, it can kind of get away with more than, say, like, a triple or a double or something that's got a more rigid stylistic guideline to it.
Mm-hmm.
Because... who's to say what's flying around in their yeah. neck of the woods?
Right.
As opposed to, you know, like exhaust or something like that. I really like the yeast on here. I like that it's got some sort of weird herbal, earthy...
yeah, it's
that
it's
I can't
different.
Quite pinpoint.
Right.
And it's very... I don't know if I buy their baked apples, lemony...
No.
I don't get an apple out of it at all.
No. I think... yeah.
Well, or do I? God, I'm talking myself into it. No, I don't get it.
It's very subtle if it's there, which is why I don't think it doesn't remind me of summer. It's not necessarily like, because it's not overtly fruity. It's, again, that the bitter aspects of fruit that we kind of mentioned, the zest, the peels, and
the,
so
the
forth.
Woody aspects of fruit.
Yeah.
Which seems weird. The more I'm talking myself into getting a touch of the apple.
Okay.
I think it's a byproduct of the yeast and the chamomile just kind of smashing each other together.
that makes sense. So to me, the most...
this is weird.
The aspect that I can't get over is that this is a 5.8%. Like, because
it feels like it should be about 4.
Like yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah. So that's pretty remarkable, I guess.
I agree. Is there anything you dislike about this beer?
It's a little insipid... to a point, as far as like the maltiness goes,
harsh, man.
I mean, insipid is probably not the right word.
Be harsh if you need to be harsh. I am going to hold you accountable, though.
But like, there's nothing really on the front end. Like the malts aren't registering. That's why I find it amazing that it's a 5.8 because it's just like, where does that go? You know, I just think the malts are probably really light and they don't register as much. Whereas Saisons that I've had before have, you know, packed a little bit more of a punch in the front. This doesn't do that. Again, not necessarily bad, it's just different, but it's just not what I'm used to, I guess.
Well, we've blathered enough, Michael. How about we get to the R?
Yes.
Do you need more time?
Why don't you go first? I think I have my rating locked, but I'm... you go ahead.
Okay, I do have my rating locked. I don't know if I know why, but I'm going to...
That's where I'm at, too. I have it locked, but I don't know why.
I really like that this beer is kind of going out on a limb. They're not doing anything that's like, it's not one of those like celery in a beer, which worked as we've discussed, but this is a weird beer and I don't expect to see a whole lot of chamomile in other beers.
Mm-hmm.
This is not going to become a craze, or at least I'm pretty sure it won't. I think the thing that it's reminding me most of, not necessarily in flavor, but in just swagger, I guess, for lack of a better word, is the OG green tea beer that we had from wherever that was.
That's where this is familiar. I couldn't pinpoint it, but this flavor profile I know I've had before, and you're right, that's it.
Okay, good. I'm not crazy.
Thank you.
Well, I'm not crazy for that reason.
Yeah.
I like it. I would reach for this one. This would pass the 6-pack test for me.
Oh.
It would not pass the everyday test, but it'd be like, oh yeah, I liked that beer. want to go. I want to go get some of that.
Might be good on draft too.
Part of me suspects that most saisons are better on draft.
A little more crisp, a little more fresh.
Yeah. Well, but then again, you've got the, you know, the whole, like, I had Le Fin du Monde a couple weeks ago. That stuff's shelf stable until 2021. I don't know how long it's been there, but I mean, it's there forever.
Yeah.
So who knows how this would age? I suspect it would not age as well as a triple or Le Fin du Monde or a strong ale of any sort, because there's some pretty delicate flavors going on here with the chamomile and the earthiness of it.
Agreed.
I suspect that if it just sat around, it would all kind of muddle together, whereas now we can... I mean, I think we can sort of pick things apart and like get those individual pieces. But now that I've jabbered on for a while, I'm going to give this a 3.75. I like the swagger. I like the flavor profile. I like that it's weird, but still drinkable and not like the freak show beer.
Right, yeah. And that was the rating I locked too, is 3.75.
Boom!
It hits a certain sweet spot where you don't see a lot of beers. Like, it's not being obviously a weird flavor. Like you said, it's not being a traditional flavor. So it's weird in that regard. It didn't go lower because of that, but it didn't go higher because it's not like something I'm over the moon about.
Mm-hmm.
Overall, the flavor profile is great, but it's not like...
It's weird. I'm still processing.
Crazy over. Yeah, right. Yeah, and I'm still kind of getting used to it even now towards the end of the...
Me too.
So...
Quick question before we sign off here.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like an idiot having these discussions in public?
You mean as like, a podcast?
Like, well, no. I just mean like if we were having this we're not spinning, as the kids say.
Uh-huh.
We're just sitting at the sanctuary in a booth. There's 10 people in the bar total. It's 4 p.m. on a Saturday afternoon, and we're having this exact same discussion without talking to a crowd. We're talking about like, oh, I'm getting an earthy aspect of it. I'm getting a this. I'm getting. Oh, do you get the chamomile? Do you feel like an idiot having those discussions in public? Because I do.
Yeah, but I don't think I'd be as pedantic. Is that the word?
That is a word. Yes.
That's a word.
I find this meatloaf shallow and pedantic.
I think I'd be a little more curt. This beer's dope, dude. Outside of the podcast context, this conversation.
Even when we do these live and, like, Steve is sitting on the stool, it feels weird.
Right. Well, I think because, I mean, obviously this is a prescriptive format.
Sure.
But I think we could get the same point across in more colloquial terms if we were face-to-face without the mics spinning.
Mm-hmm.
That's weird. Oh, yeah, I think it's weird, too. And then that'd be the extent of that. We maybe go into a little more detail than that, but it'd be a 2-minute conversation instead of a 15-minute conversation. So
I'm going to now to pull the curtain back. I think we have one more shelved.
Yes, that's going to be released as we record this one. Yes,
I'm going to be out in Chicago the week that this comes out for Riot Fest.
Mm-hmm.
The third headliner of which I still don't know, which is weird. But I tend to go out early and roam around Chicago before the festival, so maybe I'll have to try and get a cousin of the show to record, whether he knows it or not. Maybe I'll try and sneak this in.
Surreptitiously.
Because I don't think he's current, and if he is, well then, I'm sure it'll blow up in my face and it'll make for quality listening. But, I'm going to try and get him to go get some German beer with me before one of the shows. He's going with me to one of the days. We don't know which one yet, but he is going with. So maybe I'll... or maybe we'll talk about All Rise Brewing, formed by Kevin Seconds of the band 7 Seconds. But Michael, how about you hit us with the social media plugs, sir?
Social media plugs. I can do that. You can find us in a variety of places, such as Twitter and Facebook, where we are at APMPod there. Email us directly at apmpod@gmail.com. Check us out on Untapped, where host Emeritus Mike, keeper of the Untapped, Tom Bombadil of the show, logs all of our ratings there. Thank you, Mike. Otherwise, you can rate, review, and subscribe on your favorite app that does podcasting things. Yeah, I'll do it.
It will do it. And, Michael, I'm going to leave you on a cliffhanger here.
Mm-hmm.
There are barrel-aged variants of this. Have you seen these?
Of Simply Dusty?
You heard me.
No, I've not seen these.
There is a gin barrel-aged version of this.
What?
And a tequila barrel-aged version of this, according to Untappd.
Oh, man. That must be just at the tap room.
I guess so. It's a cask. The pictures I'm seeing on Untappd are definitely of a 5-gallon pin. That's weird. I don't know about either of that. I'm not a big fan of gin or tequila.
Well, I'm a gin... What would you call somebody who likes gin a lot? A gin head?
Yes, Michael, you're a gin head.
If you gin something up, isn't that...
That means you make it up.
Oh, okay. I was going to say I'm a ginner. You know what? Go on. But anyway.
You're a ginger?
A ginger,
boom,
yeah.
Nailed it.
There you go.
Yeah, that's bizarre. Anyway, I just wanted to throw that out there as a cliffhanger because I tend to jabber on these things.
So that's another one down the gullet. So for Jeremy, I've been Michael.
For Michael, I've been Jeremy.
And you've been listening to American Pale Males. Cheers.
Cheers.